This is iHeartRadio's
Wells
Podcast with Wells Adams.
You guys put on some cans, get off Instagram. Let's do a show that we don't really know what it is. Welcome to the Wells Cast. Are we calling it the Wells Cast right now? All right, Steph is, I don't know, somewhere else. We are live in Las Vegas for the iHeartRadio Fest. We are at Planet Hollywood, which is an amazing hotel. And if you come to Vegas, you should stay here. It's great. Got Dean Unglert on the show. Did I say your name right?
Hey.
And I got Jared Heibman.
Did I say close. It right?
Why do you guys have horrible last names? First question.
I don't know. Blame my parents, man. I was born this way, okay? It wasn't my choice. You know what's funny, too? We were talking about our podcast. You said live from Las Vegas.
Yeah.
This podcast is not live. We did the same thing. We're like, live from Las Vegas. Help, I suck at dating. We're not live.
Not at all.
But you know what's funny is I'm pretty sure I've co-hosted this podcast more times than Stephanie Pratt has.
Mm-hmm.
I'm willing to go out on a limb and say that.
But here's something that I don't think you know, that we did an entire podcast, and then we never aired it.
Oh, which one?
The one of you and I in Tahoe.
Oh, that never got aired?
It never made air.
So edgy, you couldn't air it? What kind of podcast was this?
It was me trying to explain to Dean what the hell was happening on the hills.
Okay,
it
gotcha.
It was the worst podcast ever.
You know how every like very successful TV sitcom, like halfway through their series, there's like a recap episode, you know?
Yeah.
That's kind of what that podcast was in my eyes supposed to be.
Yeah.
But I guess it just wasn't good enough to make
it
the cut.
It was so bad. We were so hungover.
Yeah.
It was so bad. But thank you for being on this one, which will probably also get cut. So it's going to be fine.
Great.
I want to do something a little bit different. I feel like everyone knows your guys' stories once you were on TV.
Mm.
I want to hear what your guys' stories were before you made it to TV.
Nice.
And millions.
The most fascinating part of our lives.
Yes. I want to start with Dean, because I was listening to, I think it was Nick Viall's podcast, and you kind of got into it, and I was like, man, that's such an interesting story. So, tell us from the beginning. You were birthed. I assume it was a water birth. There was like a midwife.
I was born in a bathtub.
Were you really?
No, I actually have no idea. Born of immaculate conception.
Mm-hmm,
also
mm-hmm.
not true. I was born in New Jersey at a very young age. And, I was the youngest of four. My father worked as like a plastic executive or something like that. I could be way off on that. And then when I was very young,
do you know your own story?
He was an executive of plastic.
I don't know. My dad did something. I was born at a young age, possibly in a bathtub or a hospital. One of the two.
We were living in New Jersey. We had this nice house, and this is all just, you know, it's like a game of telephone. I don't know if any of those stuff is true. It's just what I've been told my whole life.
Yeah.
We lived in a nice house. We had this sweet pool. We had a lot of friends. We had threw a lot of parties. We were like the cool happening family in New Jersey in South River. And then all of a sudden, my dad was like, hey, we got to go. Like, something happened. We got to get out of here. And my mom was like, well, no, like, we have friends and family here. Like, we're not going anywhere. And he goes, no, we're leaving, and I'm taking the kids with me. And my mom goes, okay, well, obviously, I'm not going to let you take the kids, so I'm going to come with you, I guess. And then so we bought a big RV bus. My dad like gutted it out and renovated it to sleep all six of us. And we visited like 45 of the contiguous United States. Is that the right word? Contiguous?
Sure.
Continental United
States. I don't even know what that means.
Of the states that are not Alaska and Hawaii.
Yeah.
So you can basically drive to. Obviously, you can drive to Alaska. But so we visited all those. We lived in this RV for like 3 years. And while we were living in that RV, we were like super, super poor. Like, we were the poorest people probably in America at the time, minus the, you know, the $40,000 RV that we were living in, whatever. But my father would like, he would like set up camp for a couple days, and then he would like go to a light, like a stoplight, and like panhandle for cash and be like, I'm trying to feed my starving family. We had like this big book of temporary tattoos that we would like set up shop, like a hippie shop basically, and like, hey, like buy these temporary tattoos because they're cool. And actually, there were some pretty cool temporary tattoos. So we were like super poor for those 3 years. And we would like, I remember one very distinct memory. I think it's like the first memory I have as a child, actually. I was, we were sitting on top of the bus, and we were parked outside of a demolition derby, and the bus was tall enough for us to see over the wall, so we didn't have to pay for tickets. And so we were just like eating Oreos, watching this demolition derby with my family. It was pretty cool. And then eventually we ended up settling in Colorado near Aspen. And like, I remember we lived in this trailer park for like a year in Carbondale. And that's how I have the scar on my forehead. I stole my sister's bicycle once and I tried to escape, but I didn't know how to ride a bicycle. And so I crashed and landed on a big rock. And I think I'm pretty sure you could see through my head into my brain. Or I could have just been 4 years old and I could be exaggerating the story a little bit, which probably is more accurate. And then we like kind of bounced around from house to house for a long time. My father like eventually like got a bunch of jobs as like a contractor, and then he like started his own business, and my mom started her own business, and like we kind of like got on our feet and like obviously went through life normally. And then I'm here.
Do you look back on that time favorably? Or do you look on it like as a negative portion of your life?
You know, I used to look at it. I used to be really ashamed of it, to be honest. And actually, when I posted my initial like, hey, everyone, I'm living in a van on my Instagram, I kind of mentioned it a little bit, how I used to be like super ashamed of like telling people my family used to be like dirt poor. And like we, you know, had to live in trailer parks for 3 or 4 years of my life. But now, like looking back as a confident human, I can be like, that's like pretty unique and kind of cool, especially like the fact that my parents were able to like put food in our stomachs and like keep us alive during those like really trying times. So I think that's really cool. I think that it's kind of like instilled a weird like nomadic spirit in me personally. And I think as you might have heard me say on Nick's podcast, it was like this weird idea that kind of like brought our family together. And we were like, hey, like we all went through this really crazy thing together for 4 years. We lived in an RV and we, you know, ate twice a week, but we're here and we did it all together and we all love each other more because of it. So that's kind of like a cool thing that, and it's funny, actually, I was hanging out with my brother this past week and he heard that snippet from Nick's podcast as well. And he goes, yeah, you're right. Like, I never really thought of it that way. But sure, you know, it's interesting to think that we all did this weird thing together and that we have like that to like, kind of like bond over, you know.
Did you ever get a reason why your dad said you guys had to leave so suddenly?
I mean, I've heard through like extended family that he like did some shady business deals and like he owed people money and he wanted to leave. I don't know if any of that's true. Also, the people that I heard it from don't really have the most favorable things to say about my father. So I think it's kind of one of those things that I'll never really truly know. But yeah, I do know that my parents were going to get divorced, but my mom was like, I'm not going to raise I don't want four children to have only one parent, you know? So like, obviously we're going to try and figure this out. And then actually before my mother passed away, they were definitely going to get divorced. And I think they were just waiting for me to graduate high school. Obviously my mother passed away when I was a sophomore in high school. So we didn't get that far, but, they hated each other. Basically they loved each other. And like they raised their children great. Well, for the most part, minus me, but they were always like kind of fighting and arguing and bickering. And I think like they were only together because they knew that their lives were like their children. And that's kind of why like my mom was like, yeah, I'll live in this bus with you, but just so you know, like, I don't want to, kind of thing. Yeah.
Your journey to find love on TV has been, I think, tough to watch. Do you think that watching your parents' instability in terms of like their relationship has caused you to, I don't know, push people away?
I've talked about this, I think, on my podcast, mine and Jared's podcast, Help I Suck at Dating, with iHeartRadio. If you guys haven't listened to it, you should check it out.
Check it out.
I don't think that I've ever really had a strong like relationship to look up to in my life. Like my mother and father always like didn't really like each other. My oldest brother was dating this girl and they were always kind of like very volatile in their relationship. My other brother has always kind of been like a solo wanderer guy and has never really been in relationships. My sister, you know, struggled with my mother's illness to the point where she was like dating sketchy people in high school, like the kids that you didn't really like want to be hanging out with. And so I never really had like a relationship to look up to and be like, that's what a relationship is supposed to be like. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I can't blame everything on that. Like I'm a reasonably intelligent human. Like I should know better to do the things that I've done. And when it comes to dating, I just like, I don't know. There's like this weird thing inside of me that, I guess kind of is averse to relationships sometimes.
Yeah.
Maybe. And it could be because of that. I mean, I would bet that's a large part of it. But like I said, it's, you know, there's not really any excuse for anything. It just is what it is, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, like it can be one of two things. It could be the reason why, or it could be the easy excuse that you give yourself.
Well, right. And so if you remember watching me on Rachel's season, one of my biggest things, I was like, yeah, like I want to get married. I want to have kids. My family did it wrong. And because of that, I want to do it right.
Yeah.
I remember when I was in high school, I was always saying, like, I can't wait to be a father because I want to be the exact opposite that my father was to me. And so it's like you can learn by doing the by seeing one thing and then doing the inverse of it is one way to do it. But also it's like you're just kind of conceptualizing it. You're not really like, you can't really put anything into practice until you're in it. You know what I mean? So it's like, yeah, I can have this idea that I want this picture perfect family, but because I've never had one, it's going to be hard for me to like actually build one.
Yeah.
I think it could be a little bit of both. I think it could be one of the reasons why you are who you are today. And it also could be used as an excuse at times. But I don't think,
I mean,
I don't think it has to be one or the other.
Yeah. That's fair. I like who I've turned out to be. I like that I'm a little more unconventional than most. Like, I don't know. I think that, yeah, if things went differently, we would all be a little bit different. But, like, I'm sure you could trace things back to your child and be like, yeah, that's why I'm this way. And if it went differently, I could be, like, better in this arena of my character, I guess. But
I think everybody can.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, I don't know. There's a lot of stuff. And then, like, obviously my mother passed away. When I was 15.
How did she pass, by the way?
She had breast cancer. So she was diagnosed when I was 10 years old. I remember I came out of class. She picked me up from school every day. I came out of class and I jumped in the front seat and we're pulling away. And I like looked down and between the driver's seat and the passenger seat, there was like this book and it was like how to cope with breast cancer or something like that.
Oh, wow.
And I saw that and I was like, Mom, like, why do you have this book? And then like she finally like, told me and she had like been dealing with it for a couple months, I think, at that point. So she got a double mastectomy. Cancer was gone, and then when I was 14, she was re-diagnosed, and she then eventually it was terminal that time, and so she eventually went into hospice and passed when I was 15. And then my siblings all didn't get along with my father, so they all basically scattered in different directions to different corners of the United States. And my father obviously dealing with the loss of his wife, who, you know, even though they didn't get along, they still loved each other. It's still like hard to deal with. He like was back and forth to New York basically every single week. So I was like living in the house by myself from 15 until 18 until I eventually moved out and went to college, which honestly was fun. It was like I could throw parties all the time if I wanted to. The police would always come, but they would like be calling my father at like 4 a.m. in New York time. So he would never answer. So they would leave a voicemail. And then so I would just get on his voicemail and delete the message because I knew his password. So I got away with a lot back then for real. I remember I got like arrested a lot. Like I got arrested once for like stealing groceries, which was kind of. I got arrested for like drinking a lot as a minor.
What was the worst thing?
I got arrested as a 20-year-old when I was in college I was peeing on a sidewalk at like 2 a.m. when the bars were closed and no one would let me in to pee. And a cop saw me peeing, And he goes, "Hey kid, stop peeing." And I go, "Hey cop, no." And I pull my pants up and I start running away as fast as I possibly can. And I was running so fast, like faster than I've ever ran in my entire life. And then all of a sudden my body locks up and I face plant into the ground. He shot me with his taser gun.
No
wow.
way.
Wow, you got tased? What did that feel like?
It was a deep shot too. Like he had to have been like 30 yards away from me. Honestly, I was pretty drunk. I don't
great aim.
From downtown.
Yeah, shout out to that cop.
No, he deserves a raise. If he didn't get a raise for that, he deserves it. I don't really remember how it felt. I was pretty drunk. And it was like 2 weeks before my 21st birthday. That's actually, and then I went to the hospital that night because they were like, yeah, well, you just got tased and you're drunk. Like, we have to take you to the hospital.
Yeah.
The hospital bill was like $6,000 and I'm like a broke college kid and I couldn't pay it. So that's actually one of the reasons why I came out of college with so much debt was because of that hospital bill. That was the worst. That was like, I got charged with a couple different things, but they're all misdemeanors and they're all like off my record now. But yeah, that there's like a whole long story. I never like
tell it.
Do you really want to hear it?
Yes.
Well, tell a short version of it, but I'm curious.
Okay. So I got arrested 4 times, all for underage drinking, like possession of fake IDs, etc. That time was the worst one. I got arrested then, and I had gotten arrested like a year before for just like trying to sneak into a bar in Aspen with a fake ID. Spent the night in jail. Fast forward like 3 years from then, I was probably 22. Yeah, I'd say 22. So 2 years later, I also have a big issue with authority. I don't like being told what to do. And I don't really like when police officers especially tell me what to do and like judges and stuff. And so whenever I went to court for those.
The law, the government. I don't like when they tell me.
If that's what you want to call it. Yeah, I don't like I don't like following the rules.
How are you not in jail right now?
That's what I'm getting to.
I don't like when judges, cops, government officials, the president of the United States try to tell me anything.
I didn't do like, they were like, yeah, you need to do like 40 hours of community service. in order to like amend for these rules that you broke. And I was like, okay, yeah, I'll absolutely do it. And then I just never did it multiple times. And so eventually I got to the point where I just had warrants out for my arrest. And I was driving through Aspen with my brother and my dog and my Jeep. And, you know, it's been 2 years since I've been arrested. I'm feeling good. I'm like, I feel like I got my life back on track. And I flipped my Jeep. I like hit a rock going like 30 miles an hour and I flipped it over upside down. And obviously when you crash your car, the police come to report the accident.
Yeah.
And so they come, they're like, everything's okay. Like we were fine. You know, like we were in shock, but we were perfectly like physically fine.
How was the dog?
So the Jeep flipped over and I didn't have a roof on the Jeep. And I remember it flipped, and I'll pull up a picture actually. It flipped and it was like resting on the guardrail a little bit. And I remember looking over to my brother and being like, are you okay? And he's like all calm. He's like, yeah, I'm fine. And I remember looking up and seeing my dog like fall out and smack on the ground.
Oh
really
my
hard.
God. Is the dog okay?
And she was fine. She like ran into the forest, into the woods.
Was it Nala? No,
it was Nala. Yeah.
No way.
Wow. Yeah.
And so she ran. And like the thing that sucked is my other brother came up because he like heard about it. He was like making sure we were okay too. But the cops took me because like I had two warrants out for my arrest. And so my brothers had to like spend like the next 5 hours looking for Nala in the forest. Eventually they found her, but she was totally fine. She was just a little spooked by the crash. But the point is they came and they ran my license and my registration. And they're like, yeah, you have two warrants out for your arrest. Like we have to take you to jail. And so they take me to jail. They're like, your bond is set at like $2,500 or something. Not like a lot of money, but for me it was. Mm-hmm. So I like call like 25 of my best friends and I was like, hey, I need $100. I need $50. And eventually I found $2,500. So I paid for my bond. And then they're like, okay, like you need to go to Colorado Springs where you got arrested and like be retried for these bench warrants that you never fulfilled.
Let me guess. Didn't do it.
No. So I showed up.
You did?
So I showed up to the court and I was like, hey, like I'm here to like figure this out. They're like, the judge looked at me and he goes, clearly you're not going to do anything we give you in terms of like community service or fines or anything like that. So I'm just going to send you to prison. I'm going to send you to 5 days in El Paso County prison, which there's a debate between a prison and a jail. Like what is the difference? I don't know exactly. But when I look up El Paso County Jail, it says prison on it. So I'm calling it prison. And it sounds cooler to call it prison too.
I guess.
Depends on your definition of cool.
And he goes, you're going to spend 5 days in prison. Show up on Friday at 5 p.m. and serve your sentence. And as before he like strikes his gavel or whatever, one of the people in the court, like one of the officials, like looks at me, I swear to God, winks, and then looks at the judge and goes, yeah, but like he already spent some time in Aspen, so let's knock him down to 3 days in prison instead of 5 days to prison. And the judge goes, okay, cool, we'll give you 3 days in prison. Show up on Friday at 5, you'll be out by Sunday at 5, or Monday at 5, or whatever it is. So I show up on Friday, I get there, I go through the processing, it's so bad, like I'm in there with like drug dealers and like probably murderers, like these dudes that all know each other. They're like, oh, Bill, you're back again. He goes, yep, I got clipped again, Fred. And I'm just sitting there, I'm like, I don't belong
somehow
here.
I don't think their names were Bill and Fred.
I'm keeping it anonymous for my own safety.
El Paso prison. Yeah. The most Anglo-Saxon names.
I'm trying to keep it anonymous.
Gary and Larry.
Hey, Phil, you're back again, huh?
You guys got to realize these are bad people. I'm trying to keep anonymity for my own safety's sake. So I'm sitting there, the processing, the booking stuff takes so long, and like they're not in any rush to like get everyone booked and then put in their cell. So eventually it's like, you know, I checked in at 5 p.m. It's now like midnight probably. I get processed and everything. I get my orange jumpsuit. We're all getting like shuffled to our like little cots with like our shackles around our ankles and everything.
Oh my God.
And
can I just point out that I'm trying to think of the most interesting for me to say, because I have no idea how I'm going to follow this up. Literally in my head, I'm like, okay, Jared, you got a speeding ticket when you were 16. Like, really dramatize it. The cop was mean to you.
I know. In the middle of this, I was like, I should have gone to Jared first.
Anyway, so we're walking to our holding cells, and it's just like you see on TV where there's like the big middle area where there's like a picnic table, and then there's like the room upstairs, room, you know?
Yeah.
And I go into my room, and it's bunk beds. My cellmate hasn't arrived yet, and so I jump on the top bunk.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, that's fortunate. Fall asleep pretty quickly because like I just, you know, I was sitting on a cement block for the past 8 hours in the prison basically waiting to be processed, so I fall asleep pretty quickly. Next thing I know, I wake up to someone like shaking me, and it's dark. It's like 5 a.m. at this point. Someone's shaking me, and I thought it was the guy that my bunkmate, like trying to like establish his dominance over me. And I was like kind of freaked out for a second. Actually, wait, let me rewind because there's an important part that I want to mention that no one believes me on either. Okay. When I was
I don't believe any of this.
I was, When I was being fitted for my jumpsuits, they ran out of like the largest, and I'm like a relatively tall person.
Yeah.
And so my jumpsuit was like, it was like halfway up my calf. And the other inmates were like dogging me for it. They were like sick capris, bro. And I swear, I like shot a look over to this guy really fast. Have you guys ever seen The New Guy where he like shoots a look and everyone steps back?
Yeah.
I swear to God, he was like, whoa, dude, like, I'm just kidding. I didn't mean to piss you off.
He was intimidated of Deanie babies?
I swear to God, I intimidated this dude. He's like this super rugged looking man. No, I promise you that. So I thought that my cellmate was trying to like, you know, I'm the biggest, toughest dude in the prison now.
Yeah.
I thought that he was trying to like wake me up to be like, yo, I'm coming for you. Like, watch your back.
Watch it, fish.
Turns out it was one of the guards of the prison. And he's shaking me. He's like, hey, kid, get up. And I go like, what? Like, what do I need to do something? He goes, no, but the prison's like, it's really full right now. And we need this bed for like a real criminal. You need to get the f*** out of here.
He kicked you out of jail.
He kicked me out of prison. So I was there for 12 hours. And it's like when I was leaving, I looked down and there was a guy sleeping in the cot below me. So I was sentenced originally to 5 days. I ended up serving just 12 hours. And literally everything was like expunged from my record. You know, like I basically got off by serving 12 hours in prison and I didn't have to do any community service. Or I had to do like 12 hours in my university's library or something like that. But
I've done community service. Yeah. It's hard time.
But yeah, that's my prison story.
Jesus.
Sorry, that was like.
By the way, that's the most Dean story ever. That like, it just works out.
Yeah, it just worked out.
A couple hours.
It really. And then like my friend picked me up and she was like, "How was prison?" I was like, "It was honestly not bad."
Like when you think about that story, he flipped his car. Yeah. Everybody was fine. He had a warrant out for his arrest. Got out of prison in 12 hours. Had capris on for his orange jumpsuit, but somehow was the most intimidating man in prison.
That's
his
maybe the most unbelievable.
His dog Nala flew out of the top of the car, is fine, found after a few hours.
He was able to call all his buddies and gather up
$100. That was one of the most impressive things.
Don't you only get one phone call? Isn't that how that works?
No, they like it's Aspen, so it's like, you know.
Hey, man,
oh, okay. Oh, it's Aspen.
Take as long as you need, dude.
Honestly, they were like, let me use my cell phone.
You need some cash? 70 phone calls up there.
Some cash.
Little place called Aspen.
Yeah, honestly. And what's what, like, I knew all of them. I'd been arrested enough times to the point where they were like, oh, like, and my brothers, like, they've been arrested a lot too. So, like, our family's pretty well known in that valley for, like, you know, kind of running in with the law. There's another time I was out.
It's like the Baker Boys.
Yeah. There's another time I was out at a concert and I like after the show was over, I was like out too late. I was like 18 at the time, got arrested that night and I got arrested. I spent the night in the Aspen County like holding cell, woke up the next day. It was my first day back at my job at the hotel that I worked at. I was like a valet/bellman. The very first car that I valeted, I was like still kind of, I guess, hungover or something. And so I wasn't thinking clearly. Rear-ended a bus, like super, totaled the car. It was like an Audi Q5. It was like a very nice car. Totaled the car. And then I let go up, and it was entirely my fault too. Like it was just me being careless. I go up to the front. I'm like, hey, like I just crashed this car. And they're like, okay, well, like you're fired. And I go, well, no, I don't want to be fired. Like I still want to work here. And so they let me work out the rest of the winter break.
Are you still, what valet company was this? I don't want to be fired.
They let me
finish. Okay, never mind. You don't want to be fired. Cool. All right. It's Aspen.
They let me finish.
It's fine. They you get like, 70 phone calls in jail. You crash an Audi while you valet. We'll let you work through the winter.
They were like, you can finish out until you go back to school. But once that's done, like, you're not going to work here ever again. Like legally, you can't work here anymore. So I was like, that sucks. But okay, thank you for letting me finish. And then I, like, come back for summer to back to Aspen. I'm, like, trying to find a job. But I can't figure out, like, where I'm going to work. And then eventually I get a call from my former employer at that hotel. And they're like, hey, like, do you want your job back?
Stop it.
I was like, yeah, like I'm literally on my way to an interview right now, but I would definitely like take it back in a heartbeat. And so that worked out too. But that was like one of the worst 24 hours of my life at that point as an 18-year-old. You know, I got arrested, stayed the night in jail, woke up that morning, went to work, crashed a car, and got fired. Like that's a really bad sequence of events for an 18-year-old.
Wait, you got arrested after the concert?
Yeah.
What'd you get arrested for again?
I can tell that story too. Yeah, so
we're changing the name of the show to the Dean Cast.
I was 18. This girl that I was like really had a big crush on. She was 17, so she was technically a minor. And we were hanging out after the show.
Oh my God.
And we were hanging out after the show. Like we were like it was just us two. It was like 2:30 or 3 in the morning.
Technically speaking, by the law, which I
fucking hate. She was a minor.
Listen to authority.
The judge tried to tell me that she was some sort of minor. I didn't listen.
We were hanging out after the show.
Oh my god!
Like on the steps, like on the steps, like on the steps to like a McDonald's, the only McDonald's in Aspen. And we were just like hanging there, just like talking, like hanging out, not doing anything illegal, Jared. And some cops come up and they're like, "Hey, like, what are you kids doing?" And we were just like, "Oh, we're just hanging out." And they go, "Okay, like, well, do you guys know who this girl is? Because her father called her in missing. She was supposed to be home like at midnight and she's not there. She's not answering her phone and her father is worried about her. Her name is blah 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 blah." And we both were like, "No, like we have no idea where she could possibly be. We'll let you know if we see her." She was the girl that was missing. Her father called this girl in missing and we were like pretending like we didn't know who she was.
Cops and she was standing right there.
Yes. And she was like, "That's like, I don't know who that is. It's obviously definitely not me." Even though it was. So she was like in on it. And then the cops came back like an hour later and they were like, "Okay guys, like we're wise to your tricks. We know that you're the girl that's missing. Like come with us. Everything's gonna be fine. Like you just Dean, you go home." And I was like in a business law class or something as a freshman in college. And I like thought that I knew the law better than anyone in the world. So I was like fighting the cops. I was like, "I know my rights. I'm allowed to be here. Don't you dare take me away right now." And they were like, "Okay, well, like clearly you're belligerently drunk. You're going to go to jail now." And so I had to go to jail for that. And that kind of sucked. And there's like a lot more to it that I maybe don't feel comfortable speaking on publicly.
Well, how long were you in jail for?
Just the night. And then I woke up the next day and crashed the car.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And then got fired, but then cried and didn't get fired.
For the record, I didn't
crashed.
Cry.
Crashed.
Crashed.
Yeah.
An A4.
Yeah,
a
Q5.
A Q5.
Q5.
That fired, then begged for the job back, got it back for a couple months, and then got rehired again next
year. It worked out very well for me. And then the thing that I felt most badly about with that is when you valet cars in a nice resort town like Aspen, they're almost always rental cars. 9 times out of 10, it's going to be a rental car. The Audi was like someone's personal car, which I felt really guilty for.
Yeah.
You know, like totaling a rental car, big deal. Insurance covers that. But like a person, like imagine if someone totaled your Land Cruiser when they were valeting it or something. You'd feel.
Yeah, you'd be very angry.
Yeah. So that's the worst of that story.
All right.
How fast were you going that you totaled the car while valeting it?
Well, it was in December, so there was like snow on the road. So I was probably going like 20. I tried to hit the brakes too late, and I slid on some ice, and I rear-ended it.
Yeah.
And you know, like it doesn't take much to really like put a big dent in the car. But those are two of my arrest stories for you guys.
Okay, that was some of the funniest stuff I've ever had on any of my shows.
That was fantastic.
I mean, I literally like belly laughing in the middle of that. So
Dean, nobody knows who you are.
I know. Yeah. Dude, you are just an enigma, man.
You want to know what too? It's like
what else could you possibly add?
I literally don't have to do anything on this show. Keep going.
Well, the funny thing is, it's like I've been this like dirtbag my whole life. Like I've just been poor my whole life and I've been arrested so many times, whatever. But then when The Bachelorette was airing, and I think I've talked about this candidly on our podcast too. There was like, you know, People Magazine was like, "Dean was arrested as a minor." And I was like so ashamed and embarrassed by it. And I was like, "Oh my gosh, everyone's going to know I got an MIP when I was 19 years old." But now I'm like, I don't see the point in hiding it. And like everyone was like making me out to be like this really nice choir boy, angelic kid. And I was like, well, no, I'm not really that guy. But now I like after the whole paradise the first time around, I can just not have to worry about that stuff. I just speak about everything that's happened to me, you know?
Well, you have a very interesting story, dude.
Yeah.
All right. Well, good luck, Jared, following that story.
Maybe Derek walked in. Maybe we could have like a bigger conversation. What am I going to say? You know, I was born middle class. My parents raised me, went to college, got a job, got married, grew up in Rhode Island, drank Dunkin' Donuts.
There's
got to
be something crazy. Yeah, no,
well, what did you do before you went on The Bachelorette?
Got to appreciate slipping the Dunkin' Donuts in there.
Yeah,
obviously. I always do.
Shameless plug.
Yeah. They still just won't let me promote their product.
I know, and they asked me to do it, you were so mad.
I was like, what the hell is going on?
I'm from California. Like, Dunkin' Donuts didn't come there until like a couple years
ago. Yeah, you don't even know Dunkin' Donuts. You only know Dunkin'.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what you know.
I know so little that I don't even know what you're talking about. Yeah. Is it shortened in the West Coast?
Yeah, they're changing the name to just Dunkin'. No more Dunkin'.
He gets
Dunkin'.
All serious.
We don't talk about this.
Yeah, dude.
Anyway.
Name's changing.
Jared's hurt.
I'm trying to think of one of the craziest stories that I have is when I was down in Cancun, Mexico. I got robbed by the cops one time.
That was
quite intimidating. So it was 19, drinking age is 18 down there. First time, we're going with like seven of my buddies. We're going to go, all-inclusive hotel, drink, do the whole thing, right? So we go down there. I never really drank in high school. I was never the guy that went to high school parties. I went to two high school parties, one of which got broken up by the cops, and they sat us down on the couch and went one by one, be like, where are your parents out? And everybody knew to say, oh, my parents are out. They're not home. You know, so the cops wouldn't call the house. They get to me, and they were like, where are your parents? And I was like, they're home right now. So he's like, call them right now. Get them over to pick you up. And so my dad came over. And you met my dad. Mm-hmm. He works at the correctional facility. So he came up and he's like, let me smell your breath.
Oh, God.
And so I breathed on him.
I'm already terrified.
But I remember the first time. I remember the first thing he said. He was like, well, I know you don't smoke pot, so that's good. And I was like, no, I didn't smoke pot because there was pot at the party. And back then, I'm sure it was you thought pot was like a gateway mm-hmm. drug back yeah. then, you know? I used to think it was as bad as cocaine because that was just the way it was presented to me. So that was like, so I never drank in high school. So this was the first time I was drinking down in Mexico. And I got blackout drunk for the first time in my life. And we took a party bus to Senor Frog's. So we're drinking at the hotel. I get really drunk. And then we go on the bus and I start drinking beer. And I was drinking liquor the entire day. So then I get to Senor Frog's. And then, you know, those little tubes that they have with like red liquor in them?
Yeah.
Which sugar. I didn't know was like $30 for each one at the time. Because this girl walked up and was like, do you want one? I was like, yeah. And I took it. She's like, great, $30. That was bad. But anyway, I digress.
What's even in those?
Sugar.
It was
it's
terrible.
Just sugar.
And vodka. It's all sugar.
Just, you're going to have a
drop of vodka.
Yeah.
So I get to Senor Frog, start blacking out, and then in my head...
It's a slow progress.
So
I started blacking out.
Started blacking out. Well, I will never forget that moment of not remembering. You know, I don't know if you guys remember
that's really weird.
Yeah, that was such a...
No, but it's
there's
like...
so many layers to that.
But it's so many layers, but I'll never forget the moment thinking, how did I get here?
Okay.
And that was terrifying.
Yeah, so you have like rolling blackouts.
Yeah.
You're blacking out, then like waking up and the blacking out.
Brownout.
I remember brown I had out, a yeah. drink in my hand, and I didn't remember how I got in that room, and I didn't remember how getting the drink. And I felt sick to my stomach. And then I threw up in the bathroom. Ooh. So I thought to myself, I need to get back to the resort while all my friends were at Senor Frog's. So I go on the bus, the city bus, by myself to go back, thinking this is a good idea. I remember throwing up on the bus, and the guy next to me was like, oh, you need to get this guy back to his f***ing hotel, man. So I passed out on the bus. And I woke up to the bus driver poking me and saying, no more stops. So I get off on the bus in Cancun, Mexico, in this dirt road, completely black. No lights, no street lights, no nothing. And I immediately think, this is how I'm going to die.
Yeah.
Because you hear so many stories about Americans dying. And, you know, like American tourists getting... Yeah, you just hear bad stories.
Quote lost.
Yeah, you hear really bad stories. So I'm walking, and every time someone walks past me, I'm just expecting to get knifed. And so finally,
just afraid of everyone,
dude. Honestly, because
cat,
it was like it was
cat
like
comes out.
Yeah.
Like,
ah,
this
yeah.
is a guy who's He's been got to a knife. It's like seven times.
I know since. And so I walk, and then a cop car pulls up, and I'm like, thank God! And they flash their lights. And two cops come out, and they both speak English. One of them says, what are you doing here? Why are you alone? I was at Senor Frog's. I'm just trying to get back to my hotel. The other guy comes up behind me, pushes me against the car, and starts patting me down and, like, reaching into my pockets. And he takes – I had my wallet, and I had my – at my disposable camera, guys.
Yeah.
This is back in 2008. Yes. So he takes my camera, takes my wallet, gives me back my wallet, and they just get in the car and drive off. And I looked at my wallet. All my cash was gone. All my credit cards were gone.
Oh, no.
And I mean, thank God they didn't kill me. And so that's then a cab drives by. So then I continue walking because I'm like, I don't know what I'm going to do. Cab drives by. And he's like, where are you going? And I said, I'm going to this hotel. He's like, okay, it's $40 or whatever. I was like, I can pay you at the hotel. I don't have any cash on me. And he's like, no, you have to pay beforehand. Because apparently a lot of American tourists will get into a cab and then just run out as soon as they get to the destination or like 5 minutes before. So like you are the reason I almost didn't get back to the hotel. So then he drives off.
I've done that before.
Anytime
some Americans when they're abroad, this Dean, the example is Dean.
Yeah.
picture of Dean.
So I, yeah,
in every cap.
Yeah, yeah, on the side. Have you seen this
have
man?
Have you seen this man? He never pays us.
You have to prepay because this guy, is that Dean?
He hates authority.
Yeah.
He wears capri pants.
And he doesn't pay cabs. So then they drive off. So I'm walking around, not sure how I'm about to get to the hotel. Finally, the taxi cab drives back, and he's like, get in. He just felt bad for me. Brought me to the hotel.
Oh, that's really nice.
I was so nice to him. And so got back to the hotel, and when I got back there, all my friends were outside, and they were like, where the fuck have you been? They're like, we came back. We thought you were here. We were back to the bar looking for you. We thought you died, because it was like 4 hours at this point. And so got back, paid the taxi cab driver. And then, of course, the next morning I go to my buddy's room. He opens the door. His jaw is completely busted up and bloody.
What?
And I was like, what the hell happened to you? And he's like, I got thrown out of Senor Frogs.
Oh,
and
shit.
The guard like threw me and I face planted in the sidewalk. Oh. I was like, let's just get the f*** out of this country because obviously we're not doing a good job here.
Wait.
That was like the craziest story.
Where was your cell phone during this experience?
It was at – that got stolen too. Excuse me. Where was my cell phone? That's a good
like
question.
Before international.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
I,
2008, we had cell phones.
No,
yeah, we had cell phones, but I didn't have an international.
I went to
plan
Mexico in 2008 for a senior, 2009 for a senior trip in high school, and it was very similar. Like, no phones. We basically were just cut off.
Yeah.
Wow. I can't remember if I left my, if it was stolen from me, if I left it in the hotel room.
Did the cops steal your ID?
I didn't, no. They may have stolen my license, but my passport, I did not have my passport
okay.
with me.
Okay. So you were able to get on a plane.
Yeah, they said they didn't have to bring a passport, which, thank God.
Yeah,
yeah. I was able to leave. Mm-hmm. That would have been bad.
You'd have been stuck in the place you didn't want to be.
So, and you want to know what? This story is a good reason to not like authority. Sometimes they abuse their power.
Yeah. But also, they abuse their power because of people like you, Dean.
What do you mean?
Yeah, who take advantage of the system.
No. I will say the cab story that I was referencing, it was in America. I was trying to take a cab from Denver to Colorado Springs. I had just gotten out of a show, and I was like, take me to Colorado Springs. And he goes, okay, that's going to be $200. And I say, okay, I'll pay you when I get there.
Yeah.
And I was like sitting in the cab. We had gone like two or three blocks at this point, and I was like, I don't have $200. And so we had only gone like three blocks. He stopped at a stoplight and I opened the door and I sprinted as fast as I possibly could. So it wasn't like the full drive.
That's not bad.
That's not that bad.
Yeah. But I was like hiding in a bush for like maybe like half an hour because I thought he was like trying to find me.
Okay, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we got Derek. And do you have an arrest story?
I don't have an arrest story, no.
Let's just stick with the theme of like
tell a funny, crazy story.
Yeah, yeah. And I've got an arrest story that I can tell too. So maybe the show is just we talk about arrest stories.
You know, I have a police story.
Do you?
I have an avoiding arrest story.
Okay.
There we go.
All right. Quick break. When we come back, I want to hear it. All right. Back on the Wells cast, I have Dean, Derek, and Jared, all from The Bachelorette and Bachelor in Paradise and, well...
I want you to keep describing.
Yeah,
yeah. Where were you going from there?
Well, I was like, I don't know where what universe Dean is from. Like, Jared's from like New Jersey. You're from Iowa. Dean is from
Venus.
Yeah, he's from wherever. What was the alien from Looney Tunes?
Oh,
yeah.
Marvin the Martian.
Marvin the Martian.
You are Marvin the Martian.
I don't know if I like that, but I'll take it.
Yeah.
You are Marvin the Martian if Marvin the Martian was an outlaw.
Yeah. I'm no longer an outlaw. I'm reformed.
If Marv had a record, it would be Dean.
And a mustache.
Yeah. Okay, so we've been doing arrest stories. Do you have an arrest story for us, Derek?
Yeah, I don't have an actual arrest story. My slate is clean, but
boring.
There's well, I can tell a party story from college when the police came and broke up the party, and well, we'll just rewind it. So I'll just tell the story. So in college, I ran track, and we didn't really go out that much because you really focused on
that. Yeah,
because
you ran track.
But when we did,
I don't know what
that means. When we did, it was like the whole team. We had like the whole costume party thing that we would do. So it was I'm on a boat. Remember that song when that was huge?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm on a boat was our party. So we actually got like a bunch of sand and filled this garage of my friend's place.
Like from Step Brothers, that song?
I don't know.
Boats and Hoes.
No. I'm on a boat.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's a Lonely Island song.
Lonely Island.
Great,
yeah,
great
yeah,
music.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay.
We had like we got like kiddie pools, filled them with water, put them in there, and like brought in sand, filled, you know, the garage with sand, and everybody was just like, you know, it was like tropical, whatever. And I decided I was gonna wear like in it. T-Pain wears the like a tuxedo. But I just, like, didn't put a shirt on, so I looked like a Chippendales person. I didn't realize that until the party started. People were like, are you dressed like a Chippendales guy? I was like, oh, no, that's exactly what I look like.
Oh, no.
And side note, you were a Chippendales guy.
Yeah, I was. I pointed at you. I saw it. Yeah, Derek pointed right at me. I was. It was awesome. They asked me. They were like, hey, would you be interested to do Chippendales? And I immediately said, absolutely.
Did you like work out beforehand to get the body in Chippendales like readiness?
Not as hard as I wanted to, but yeah. I did for the 2 weeks prior I worked out. Yeah. And then the day of, I didn't eat at all. I almost passed out before the show because I didn't eat at all that day because I wanted to try to, you know, look as thin
look
as possible.
Good, yeah.
And then I in the green room, they have weights and stuff like that for all the guys. So they're yeah. dancing. And before they introduce me with my shirt off, I'm like pumping nice. Weights. And then all of a sudden, for a minute, I could feel myself getting blurry and everything getting fuzzy. And I was like, oh, my God, I'm going to pass out right now because I'm just sweating profusely and haven't eaten. And so then they were like, all right, Jared, we're ready for you. And then I immediately ate Shake Shack afterwards.
Oh, my yeah. God.
There you go.
Yeah, the pains of being a Chippendales dancer. Who knew?
So. Dude, that was so – I had so much fun. Those guys were awesome. But it's crazy.
Did you learn some new moves, some good moves?
Well, it was funny because the last move is a simple five-step thing where it's like mm-hmm. you go with the beat and it's like you just tap your each foot once, fist pump, and it's super easy. And they were like, are you sure you're going to be able to learn this? And I was like, yeah, I can do this. Because they're like, you don't have to. And I was like, no, I got this, guys. So I learned like a little move. But it was so funny meeting all the Chippendalers because they're all like husbands and dads. Yeah. And yeah. It's just yeah. a job for them.
Right.
But the show was fantastic, I got to admit. Dude, so because
Jared goes every time he's in Vegas.
Yeah. Nick was with me. Tanner was with me. And they left the show. They all said like, you know, it is pretty entertaining because they just make fun of themselves too, and mm-hmm. they know exactly what they're doing. So continue with the story. Sorry.
Yeah. No, I mean, that was a great size story. Great sidebar. That was better than my actual yeah. story. So thank you for adding me on. So the cops come and there's basically like 100 people here. They actually like they're just like, nobody run. We're not going to get anyone in trouble. You all just need to leave. And one kid goes running. It was the only kid at the party that didn't go to school with us. It was like somebody's friend.
So he wasn't on the track team with everybody else.
Exactly. Okay. The only one who couldn't
so
get away.
The slowest guy at the party tried to run away.
But like the party just broke up basically. And I was talking to the cops for probably like 10 minutes. Just like, you know, they wanted to come inside the house. And same thing as you. I was like, I know business law yeah. now. And I was like, oh, I will go and get the people who live here for you.
Yeah.
Please stay outside. Like, close the door.
You do not have my permission
right,
to enter.
Exactly. And then my friend's mom, like, worked at the police station. And the next day, they came in and they were like, the cops were talking to, like, the other cops. And they're just like, you guys, last night, we had the craziest breakup that we've ever seen. This dude was dressed like a Chippendales guy. They had a pool. It was, like, it was the coolest we've seen in small town Iowa.
They felt anyway. Bad to break up the party because
yeah,
it was such a
wanna
cool party.
Anyone. That's yeah. why they didn't want to bust anyone.
See, cops aren't so bad, dude.
Look, I for the record, I like cops. I think they do a great service for this country. But as a 17-year-old boy, I'm like, screw you. I'm going to do what I want.
Yeah, I'm going to pee wherever I want.
Yeah.
As the outlaw Marvin the Martian. Yeah. I don't like authority.
I don't know.
You guys want to hear my arrest?
Yes.
Love nothing more.
Well, I've got a couple of them, but the funniest one, so I had to kind of go back. I was driving, it was in college, and I was driving from Oxford, Mississippi, where I went to college, to Nashville to spend Thanksgiving with my sister. And it was like the end of 2015, I guess. It was like, it was November of 2015. And I get pulled over in like one of those speed trap towns. And
really, did you just go with the Jason Isbell song?
Literally no one listening to this podcast knows who Jason Isbell is except for you, and I love you for making that reference. There's a great Jason Isbell song called Speed Trap Town. You should listen to it. So I get pulled over, and first of all, because my name is so weird, no one ever gets it right. It's always like Richard Adam Wells. It's always like messed up. Or Adam Wells. And so the guy wrote my name wrong on the ticket.
Oh.
And it was also, remember, it was November of 2015. So on the ticket it said your court date was, he wrote, in January 3rd, 2015.
Yeah.
So I was like, this guy, first of all, can't read a license, and he doesn't know how to use a calendar. So I go do Thanksgiving, and I come back, and I call the whatever town's courthouse, and I'm like, hey, I got a ticket. Am I on the docket? And they were like, there's no one by the name of Wells Adams for January of last year.
And you're like, well, see you later.
So I said, what do I do? And they said, well, you're not on the docket, so don't worry about it. And I was like, okay, fine. So then like a year goes by. I don't, no one sends me any notification that I'm in trouble. And this was in the college days where I'm not proud of what I wore every day to class, but I went to school in the South, and so I was trying to fit in. So it was just a lot of pastels and plaids that was going on.
Wait,
Andy,
college days?
Andy Bernard.
Yeah.
In 2016.
Sorry. 2005. You're right.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I was like, because I was thinking, I was like, okay, you were on the show in 2016, so there must be some connection here.
Yeah, yeah. No,
and then you said college, and I was like, Wells didn't go to college in 2016. Am I an idiot?
Sorry, yeah, 2005.
He went back to hang out with the college kids.
Yeah, no. With all the pastels on. I blend in, guys.
No. I did not do that.
I mean, he does still look like he's in college, so.
He does, yeah. You don't age.
Thank you.
It's quite rude.
So I remember I was wearing plaid shorts and a pink pastel Lacoste shirt.
Sick.
And I was driving past Sorority Row, and I get pulled over by like a motorcycle cop. And so he runs my, I think for speeding or something, or rolling a stop sign. And he runs my thing, and he's like, you have a warrant out for your arrest. We got to take you in. And so they handcuffed me, and I'm like, what, you going to throw me on the back of this motorcycle? What's going to happen? So they're like, no, we're going to get like another car to come get you. And this was right at lunchtime, so all the sorority girls are walking back to the sorority house, and I'm getting arrested like in on Sorority Row.
Nice.
If you were wearing anything else, they would have thought you were the coolest, most badass guy in college.
This is when Wells started wearing a leather jacket.
Was exactly. That yeah. This was the moment that I was like, I gotta make some changes.
That's so funny.
And I'm getting arrested, and of course, like a couple of the KDs that I knew, they're like, Wells, what happened? And I'm like, I don't even know what.
Gotta
I
gotta do
I,
some hard times, ladies.
Think I said something stupid like, follow the law, ladies. Or something like that. I was in a pastel shirt.
Stay in school, kids.
Don't do drugs. And so then they take me to the jailhouse. And no joke, like, you know, you walk into a small little jailhouse in Oxford, and there's just like one guy at the front desk. And I, no joke, he starts dying laughing. And he was like, nice fucking shirt, dude.
Oh, no.
He's like, you can't wear this here. You're going to get hurt. And I was like, what? And he was like, put him in a different cell.
Oh my God.
I had to sit in a different cell because they were like, if we put you in with everyone else, they're going to
get your ass kicked.
So then they let me out, and I go to court, and they're like, I was like, I'm going to represent myself in this matter. And so I had to go up on the stand, and I was like, let me just explain what happened. And I explained it, and I was also like, same as everyone, like took a couple law classes, thought I knew what the hell I was talking about, and I was a little bit of a dick. And I was like, it's not my fault the guy can't read my license correctly, nor does he know how to work a calendar. Yeah. And that was not what I should have said. That was not what I should have said. So anyways, I ended up having to pay like some big fine and like community service or whatever. But
wait, so how long were you in the jail for?
Like a couple hours, I think. I remember I got the food. I was excited about the food. I was like, what kind of...
The slop.
Yeah, well, I remember it was like a white bread sandwich with cheese and turkey and the cup of veggies or whatever, or a cup of fruit. And I was very excited about that. But anyways,
sounds like summer camp.
Here's my thing. If you're going to get arrested, don't get arrested in a pastel pink Lacoste shirt and plaid shorts. And that's it.
If you're going to take one thing away from this podcast,
yeah,
let it be that.
Don't do that. I got to be honest with you guys. This was like I've been doing radio since I was a kid. This has been the funniest show I've ever been a part of. I'm sorry, it was so freaking funny, dude. So thank you guys so much for being on the Wells Cast.
And welcome to the Wells Cast.
Welcome to the He's got another one, folks.
So is it officially named the Wells Cast?
I don't think so.
We're just calling it that. I kind of like the name. I like the name Wells Cast.
So we were talking about, let me get your guys' opinion about this. We were trying to figure out like what the next iteration of this should be, because obviously the Hills aren't going to air for a while. So when the Hills comes back, then we'll go back to doing that show. But we want to keep on doing this. And I was thinking, and I was just trying it out today, of just doing origin stories. Like, how did everyone get to this place? You know, like everyone knows your guys' stories, but people don't know, like, I've known you for 3 years, Dean. I've never heard any of those stories, you know?
Yeah.
So I was thinking of like doing an origin stories podcast. Thoughts? Agreements?
The only thing is, Dean is so interesting.
It's never going to live up to this episode.
Get the hell out of here.
It's never going to get better.
Yeah. It's all downhill.
It's all that.
Why don't you ask your listeners for advice? Like, just have them email you and be like, what do you think?
Well, you know what? Like, everyone's done dumb shit when they're kids, so like everybody has some stupid funny story. I think that's great.
Yeah,
I do like the idea of an origin story. Yeah. If it is, because I loved
you
this
love
and
Avengers,
how,
so of course
I know when they all come the together. Guy. Everybody needs their origin story. Paradise was our Avengers. Now let's make a prequel. Let's give everybody a prequel. Find out where they came from.
Oh God.
That's so
I would
true.
Watch that, actually.
Right?
Yeah, that's so real.
I think it's a great idea.
All right. Well, we'll figure it out. But thank you guys for being on the show. This is literally one of the funniest. I haven't had like a belly laugh in a long time, so I appreciate it.
I know. I'm sad it's ending. I want to hear more from Derek. I know.
Too late, I guess.
I think you should do an origin story, with Derek.
I'm sure Wells and I will do many.
Yeah, you'll be on again.
Have you guys done any dumb stuff together?
I mean, sure.
Have we?
The tricky thing about that is you guys have only really known each other as adults.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah. A lot of your funny stories come from like pre-20s.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. My favorite story of Derek was the first week of, and we've told this story a bunch, of The Bachelorette. Jordan got the first impression rose. I got the first group date rose, and he got the first one-on-one rose. Mm. And so I made a rule that if you got a rose before a rose ceremony, you had to let me get you drunk. And that was like kind of the origin story of the bartender thing. I would make old fashions for everybody.
Oh, that's funny. I didn't know that.
And because like if you remember, if you got a rose before rose ceremony, no one cared about you.
Right.
Like, there was no drama for you. Right. No one was making you do interviews. They were just like, whatever.
Yeah.
And so Derek, this was the beginning of it. And Derek and I just got blindly drunk at the mansion.
Like, none of us knew anybody.
Yeah.
And Wells and I are doing man chats for the very first time. And we're just hammered going, well, yeah, like, you know, love to me is so important.
Yeah.
And it's like we don't know what to say to each other at all. There's no guidance. You know that there's like three cameras on us, and you know the producers are just shaking their heads.
They're like, we're not going to use any of this.
And they didn't.
Were you guys trying to be serious, or were you joking?
We were just blackout drunk, and I remember being, it was like the first week, and I remember saying, I don't even know her, man. Like, how could I don't even know her. I don't even know what books she likes to read. Does she even like to read? I don't even know her middle name. Does anyone know JoJo's middle name? And I remember Megan, the producer, came up and was like, are you mic'd up right now? And I was like, yeah. She goes, take off your effing mic and go to bed. And I was like, okay.
Isn't it so funny when you look back? I sometimes think about how, man, I could have looked so bad from just not even, but stuff like that, being like, how can I fall in love with her when I don't know her yet?
Yeah.
If they just took that and put it, people would be like, oh, screw this guy.
Yeah. The normal life stuff that, like, is totally fine when you're talking with your friends about somebody new you met. But on that show, it's, like, the wrong thing to say.
Yeah.
So, actually, before I went on my Bachelorette, I watched a couple episodes of JoJo's season. And I remember you guys were all, like, singing songs about JoJo. And Chad was, like, off in the back saying that kind of stuff. He's like, why are you guys singing about her? You don't even know anything about her, you know?
Which, in retrospect, he was so right
about. Yeah, 100% right.
Absolutely.
That and the milk thing, he was 100% right about.
All right, thanks.
My favorite story with Wells is it doesn't even involve you. It's just something stupid I did at your house one time.
Okay.
great.
My favorite story with Wells. Actually, doesn't involve Wells.
Doesn't involve you, but it's something that happened at your house.
I'm going to need to blacklight my house now.
Yeah, and it was very stupid.
No, it was just really late at night, and we'd been out like all day, and I wanted pizza. So I go, I go on Postmates, and I order a pizza, and then I was like, oh, no, that wasn't the one I wanted, so I canceled that one. And then I go on whatever other app, I don't even remember.
Grubhub,
yeah, and pull that up and order another. So two pizza drivers showed up at the same time.
We're like, did you get a call? I got a call. Did you get a call too?
It's like the Spider-Man meme with them pointing at them all holding a pizza. They're like, Wells is asleep. This is like 1:30 in the morning.
I know you.
And you ate both the pizzas.
Yeah, I ate some of both, of course.
Yeah, you know, live your life.
You're just living your best life over here.
You know?
That Hanover Road.
Awesome.
Ain't nothing like pizza.
Yeah. All right, guys. Thank you so much for being on the show. This was really wonderful. And yeah, listen to Help I Suck at Dating with Dean and Jared. And then listen to the Betches podcast with Derek and Kay.
Okay.
Okay. Bye.